Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. It's winter. That means in Washington, anything might happen, including the shuttering of federal office buildings. If you're a contractor, that doesn't mean the work stops, though. What should you do? Here's something not to do, and that's try to get advice from just anyone you can reach. Larry Allen, principal of Allen Federal Business Partners, talks about this and other matters in his blog this week. Larry, let's talk about the most recent thing on people's minds here in Washington, which was the massive snowstorm. It's all melted away now, but it was pretty tough while it was going. You have advice for contractors for when the customer closes shop, sometimes for days on end.
That's right, Tom. And basically, that advice is to wait it out. So often you have government contractors that are trying to please their customer, and they don't want to be seen as being deficient, and yet they may act without improper advice or input, or even getting advice from people in the government who aren't necessarily authorized to give that advice.
What about calling people that you know well, maybe at home, if you think they're teleworking?
Well, I think you can call people at home, but the important thing is to understand that different people in government have different roles, Tom. And if you're a contractor and you want to know whether or not you should be showing up for work, the person that you need to talk to is the contracting officer, not the contracting officer's representative, not the end user, even though most people look upon them as the customer. But the contracting officer is the only person in government who has the authority to tell a contractor, yes, you should show up, you'll get paid if you show up today, versus somebody else who might say, yeah, of course we want you to come in, only to find out that, you know, the government was closed, you weren't authorized to send that person in, and you just gave the government a free day's worth of service.
So if you are a contractor employee on site at an agency and that agency is closed or the offices are closed, the agencies don't say they close anymore, but if the offices are closed and you can't get in or don't go in, is that a lost contracting day for the company or does that get made up?
Well, it's potentially a lost day, but I think the real question, Tom, is to ask about these issues up front before they happen. You know, how are we going to treat a snow day? Are we going to get the same credit for teleworking for our contractor employee as a federal employee would get from teleworking at their home? Most of the time, the answer to that's probably going to be yes, unless you're working on some specific type of classified or specialized contract. But you want to get that type of thing answered in advance. It's difficult to say, well, sure, we'll make up that day at the end of the contract, and then 2 years later at the end of that contract, everybody's forgotten about that snow day, and you know, you're out something. It's not potentially significant, but look, it was avoidable, and if it wasn't spelled out in the initial contract, it's something you want to ask about and get the answer from the person who's authorized to give it.
And in any case, you should know what the answer is well in advance of actually needing to invoke that answer.
And that's, of course, the best-case scenario, and that's why the piece of advice we're offering now, Tom, is get it done in advance. So often, this is the type of thing that a company could leave until the last minute, figuring everybody will work it out when we get there. And there are numerous stories in government contract lore about people who waited till the last minute and never got the answer back they were expecting.
Yeah, that's the kind of surprise that stockholders and owners and management doesn't like, I guess.
That's right.
All right, and I wanted to also ask you about something you've written about in this week's blog, and that is that GSA IT schedule sales are growing, and that's kind of counter to what the general thought has been for several years now.
Right. Last year, in 2015, Tom, the GSA IT schedule saw its sales go up by about 3%. While that may not seem significant, it's important to remember we're talking about a contract vehicle that generates $15 billion in sales. So when you're talking about that type of number, any type of statistical increase I think is significant, especially when you consider that the federal IT market itself is relatively flat, some would say declining. So if you have a contract vehicle that is actually increasing its sales and increasing market share, probably by more than 3%, given the state of the IT market. It's significant and important to talk about. Important to talk about because the GSA schedule is the largest IT contract vehicle in government and one that had been losing sales, and it doesn't always get the glamour and attention that other IT contract vehicles get because there's no real start or end date to the schedule. It's just always there. And if something's always there, it doesn't always get the spotlight and attention that it should.
Has GSA been spending some attention on the schedule? I mean, they've been spending a lot of attention on their category management, the hallways initiative, and also the shared services initiative. But maybe it's because as they consolidate, try to consolidate contracts, and this is really starting at the White House more than GSA, the schedule is part of what they are consolidating too. So what are the factors do you think are driving these increases?
Well, I certainly think that's a factor, Tom. We saw in 2015 the Office of Management and Budget issue a directive identifying the GSA schedule along with NASA SEWP, NIH's CIO-CS contract as the three primary contracts for desktop and laptop use. Too early to tell whether that directive specifically played into the increased number for FY15, but I would certainly expect to see a similar increase in the current fiscal year because of that memo. When the schedule gets positive attention from the Office of Management and Budget, when it gets positive attention from some of the largest users in the Department of Defense, that calls everybody's attention to what has been, I guess, the good old standby and gives it some new life and reinvigorates it.
We're speaking with Larry Allen. He's principal at Allen Federal Business Partners. And I guess as a follow-on piece, you write about it's important for contractors from time to time to look at their schedules, clean up old clauses, generally update them and make sure that they're fresh. What should they be doing? And if your sales are moribund, what can you do about it?
Well, those are this goes right along with the schedules increase. And if the contract is a good old standby contract for the government, Tom, a lot of contractors treat it like the good old standby too, and they don't always stay as up to date on the contract as they should. So I think the first thing every contractor needs to do is go take a look at their pricing and make sure that their pricing is consistent with what it should be consistent with. Most of the time, that's their commercial pricing. There's some relationship there between commercial pricing and the GSA schedule price. Most contractors, or many contractors that I see, set their initial contract price and they never initiate an economic price adjustment during the course of the contract. The result is that they're not realizing the type of sales or benefits that they could from that contract. The other is that you got to make sure that you're in compliance with the contract. Pricing is the obvious one, but you also want to make sure, particularly in the IT arena, that you are sourcing your products from countries where that you should be sourcing your products from. And that if it's been a while since you've had a compliance class or an ethics class, you know, these are things that I recommend companies do at least once a year. Get a checkup, make sure that you're in good shape. If you find any issues, you can make a mid-course correction. Much easier than if you wait 5 years and then everything's totally out of whack.
Getting back to the pricing issue, you're in trouble. You could be potentially in trouble if someone buys something from your GSA schedule contract and there's a lower price somewhere on some other GWAC or some other contract that you're offering for the same product, correct?
Well, there's an administrative problem with that. GSA certainly has been on alert lately for prices that on the schedule that are higher than those on either other schedule contracts or other competing government contracts. And so you want to make sure for competitive reasons that your schedule price is robust. But there's a bigger reason, Tom, that you want to make sure that your pricing is correct. And that is if it's been a while since you've updated your commercial sales practices, your discounting policies have probably changed from what you told GSA they had been. And if your discounting practices have changed, it's past time for you to update your schedule price list. You want to make sure that you're staying in compliance with the terms and conditions of your contract, because if you don't do it now, it could cost you a whole lot of money later.
Larry Allen is principal at Allen Federal Business Partners. Thanks for that tune-up.
Anytime, Tom. I'll see you around the garage.
All right. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.